Welcome to the Light Post Podcast, where we endeavor to cast light from God's word on the issues that impact our lives. I'm Pastor Jim Lowe, and we are here to talk a little bit more about the thing that we discussed on the last podcast. And on that one, we've been discussing the idea of heart versus habit, the things that we do and why we do them. And it's almost kind of like needing to be in a time where we look at ourselves to really make sure that the things that we're doing, are they helping us or are they harming us? Are we doing things for God out of the heart that we have for him, or are we doing things out of the habit of just doing it? You know, it only takes a little bit of time for something to become a habit. And a lot of times we've turned that habit, or we brought it, I should say, even into our relationship with God. We do things because we're on a routine to do them. So let's start looking at some of the things that the Bible says and what we talked about in the last podcast. I'll go over just a little bit of this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 5, it says, "But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful and unholy. They will be without love and unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control. They will be brutal, not lovers of the good. They will be treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and have nothing to do with them." That part in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying its power, this was something that really, really struck me. Because to have a form of godliness, but no power, what exactly does that look like? And we've talked about before, does this apply to us? And it made me start to wonder, are we putting our own things above God, our own feelings before God, our own desires above God, the things that we really want above the things that God is really telling us that he has for us, or the things that we should be doing, or the ways that we should be asking or acting, excuse me. So it begs the question, are our hearts in the right place? When you think about your heart, when I think about my heart, when we as believers, as the body of Christ, when we think about our hearts, what is it that is focused on? Because this is the thing that separates us from other people. Because verse 5 in that same scripture that we read, having a form of godliness but denying its power, the next part says, have nothing to do with them. The Bible tells us do not have anything to do with people who are like that. Don't look like them, don't act like them, and more importantly, don't be them. Because these are things that can keep our hearts from God. And if our hearts are separated from God, then that means that we are separated from God. And so continuing from the last podcast, what is one of the things that keeps our heart from God? And that's our lack of forgiveness towards others. Now, just like a short recap, I'm changing a word from the previous podcast, because I was saying last time we had misunderstandings about forgiveness. This time I'm going to call them myths. And so really quickly, myths about forgiveness. The first one was that forgiving somebody means that we give them a pass. Forgiving does not mean that we say what you did is okay. It does not say I now approve of what you did. That's not what it means. What it means is that we're letting go of all of the current feelings that we have related to that person, the feelings of hurt, the feelings of anger, rage and bitterness, sorrow, all of those things that are tied to that other person. And we trade it for our peace of mind back, for our joy back, to not allow that thing to constantly trouble us. So it doesn't mean that we give somebody a pass when we forgive. And another myth about forgiveness is forgiveness being based on something that they ask for. And, you know, we've talked about these in our small groups before. And, you know, this sometimes means people accepting responsibility for what happened. And then they apologize and ask you for forgiveness. If somebody doesn't apologize and they don't ask you for forgiveness, can you forgive them anyway? Or are we in a place where, I can't forgive you until you know what it is that you did? Well, okay, I understand that. But what if the person is no longer in our lives? The person may have changed their number. The person may have moved on to another state, another country. The person may have even passed. And if they're no longer here, if they're no longer around, they can't ask for forgiveness. And does that mean that we harbor unforgiveness, waiting on them to ask for something that they can't or they will not do? It's a reminder that forgiveness is not for them. It's for us. And so two other myths I want to give today about forgiveness as well, too. Number 3, forgiveness means that we have to reestablish the existing relationship. In other words, that it means we have to go back to a bad situation. It means that we have to go back to working relationships, to friendly relationships, to family relationships. It doesn't necessarily mean that. Forgiveness doesn't tell you that you have to forget and go back, especially if it's something that's dangerous. That's not what it means. There may be some jobs that you have to leave. You forgive the people there, but you leave anyway. And some situations that you have to get up and forgive and also say goodbye to. It means to let it go, put it in your past, and look ahead. Why? Because forgiveness is for you, not for the other people. And there are situations where it's okay to forgive and go, and some things that we need to leave behind. But if we do move forward, when we do move forward, it's not because we're driven by unforgiveness. We are in control. We forgive and we move on. Myth about forgiveness number 4, forgiving someone means that we forget what happened. You know, part of wiping the offense from memory doesn't mean that we forget. Doesn't mean you have to forget it, right? Like, okay, we're going to act like it just never happened. Okay, I'm going to show you a scripture here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. And it says this, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad." We must all appear before the judgment seat to receive payment, to receive judgment, to receive what is owed to us for every single thing that we did, good or bad. Now, you know, well, I thought God forgave us. I thought Christ came and died for our sins. Well, what we're reading right here is that God is, he did forgive us. But it also says we all got to appear before the judgment seat that we can receive what is due for the things done while in the body, meaning while you are a believer, whether good or bad. God forgives, but it doesn't mean that we got away with it. Forgiveness is not a free pass to say that, okay, we're going to now forget it, or we're going to say that these particular things are okay. And I'm saying the same thing to you as well, too. It's okay to forgive someone and still hold them accountable. If there's a problem on the job, a problem at home, a problem with a friend, and somebody does something that hurts us, because those things happen all of the time, we can forgive that person, but it should be addressed. You shouldn't be held down by what happened, but you should also not be told that you got to forget it either. These things are myths about forgiving that we've talked about. We've given 4 of them, and they stop us from forgiving when Christ told us to forgive. And we said this the last time, Ephesians chapter 4 and 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. Forgiveness isn't easy, yet Jesus told us to do it. And just like Christ forgave us, therefore we should forgive other people. How can we ask God for forgiveness and we won't give it to somebody else? You ever heard of this thing called the golden rule? In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, it says, treat others just as you want to be treated. Do y'all realize that the Bible tells us that we will be treated the same way that we treat other people? Why? Because God has us here to represent him. And for us to represent him, we need to be operating in a few things to be moving on all cylinders, so to speak, to be the best believers that we can be, to be the best representation of him. One of those is to be operating in love. When we operate in unforgiveness, we are harboring feelings that are not loving towards other people. We're supposed to be representing God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, be imitators of God. What did Christ do when he was going to the cross for sins that he didn't even commit, dying for us, right? He's on the way. In the middle of being spit on, in the middle of being beaten and being killed by those around him, what does Jesus say in Luke chapter 22, verse 34? He says, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. In the middle of taking hits for something he didn't do, Now, I'll admit, I don't know about you, but it's not too many times you can hit me before I retaliate. But in the middle of this, Jesus said, while they were doing this, he prayed for Father. He prayed to God to forgive them. And it says, even in that scripture, as he's finishing his sentence, it says they divided up his clothes by casting lots. They could care less about what they were doing to him. Yet in the middle of that, he's still praying for them. And that same man who did it is telling us that we are responsible for the way that we treat others as well, too. And we got to do it for ourselves. We got to forgive for ourselves. It may not be easy, but we got to do it for ourselves. Because in Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, it says, but if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Now, again, in Matthew 6 and 15, I'm saying that because hopefully you guys can go read it if you need to. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. What did we say before in the prayer that we learned as children? And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Father, forgive us for the wrongs that we've done as we forgive those who have wronged us. Y'all, forgiveness is for us, not for the other person. So we have to make sure that we don't allow somebody else to get in the way of our relationship with God. If we don't forgive men their sins, then Christ won't forgive us. Our salvation is on the line on how we treat somebody else. Wow, that's a very scary thought. So what do we do in terms of forgiving somebody? First thing we should be doing is make sure to pray to God for a changed heart towards that person. Sometimes before we can work on forgiveness for others, we have to make sure that our heart is right. Christ wouldn't put all of this on forgiving others if it wasn't so important. And in Psalm 51 and 10, it says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. God, what I don't have, give to me. If my heart is so broken because of what others have done to me, put something new into me that will give me the ability to be able to have a heart towards others. God can change our hearts. Ezekiel 36 and 26, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. The heart of Christ can forgive others while they are killing him. And if our hearts are not strong enough, Christ says that he can change and put the heart that he has to give us the heart to be able to handle those things. Now, the second way, how do we work to forgive somebody? Number two, begin to pray for that person regularly. Yes, that's right. The person who wronged us, we should be praying for them. You know, the more you pray for yourselves and then pray for somebody else, those feelings of anger and hurt slowly begin to change. Because what happens is God changed my heart. And now that person who has hurt me so bad, I'm going to pray for them. And I'm going to pray good things on them. Don't pray bad things on them, right? Pray good things on them. And it may take some time, but slowly as you begin to pray for that person who hurts you so much, the feelings, especially if you're asking God to take them away, those feelings over time will change. Now, maybe it might take some time, but you are at least working to do the thing that Christ asked you to do. Remember, forgiveness is for you. So those two things were to make sure you pray to God for a changed heart. And then the second one is to begin to pray for that person regularly. These are the things that are extremely important because Christ told us that forgiveness is for us, not for the other person. So again, I'm going to finish with the thing I said a minute ago. Don't let the thing that keeps us from God be the person that we cannot forgive. Forgiveness is important. God does not play about it. So let's take that particular thing seriously. So we want to thank you for joining us on another episode of the Light Post Podcast, a ministry of the Guiding Light Church. And for other messages and resources, connect with us online at guidinglight.org, Guiding Light Church on Facebook, or Guiding Light Church TV on YouTube. I'm Pastor Jim. It was great to be here and hope it was a blessing. And if it was, if you would share some with somebody, we would greatly appreciate it. But until next time, y'all take care and God bless.